Welcome, friends, to another broadcast of the Morsels for Zion's Poor.
It is sheer folly for men to think that they have it within their own power and free will to worship God whenever they please or in any wise to approach into His presence by an activity which they perform, as if He was hungrily waiting on them to do so and would be disappointed if they do not. Two things that were a great abomination to the Jews were swine and dogs. Yet it is to these two things that the Lord likens their sacrifices and offerings, which they brought before Him in outward obedience to the law of Moses. He rejected their offerings and sacrifices because they made them not out of reverence for Him, a knowledge of His holiness, or a desire to be found faithful before Him, but because they assumed that they could establish their own righteousness before Him by the activity of their own flesh. They thought He was a God like those of the heathen who dwelt in temples made with hands and who could be enhanced or magnified by their bringing or adding something to Him. Religious men assume that God will be pleased with their activity if they meet certain requirements prescribed by some form which is of their own making. This is what prompts men to rely upon prayers, creeds, and liturgies written by others, or even the rote recitation of the Lord's model prayer which He gave to His disciples. This tendency has its clear illustration in the notion that a man can become a Christian simply by reciting a prayer which some have called the sinner's prayer. Yet it is no less manifested by those who take satisfaction in their times and orders of worship, their confessions of faith, or what a woman puts on her head. There is no attitude or condition with which God is pleased to find in men other than that of a broken and contrite heart. No man ever yet stirred himself up to take hold upon the horns of this altar, except those in whom the Spirit of God first performed this work of repentance and godly sorrow. When a broken and contrite heart is missing, there can be no approach unto the Lord, and any activity, regardless of its mandate, is an abomination unto Him. Nothing that men in the flesh bring before the Lord, regardless of its orthodoxy, is that which pleases Him. He is pleased in nothing or no one other than His beloved Son, and those who are found hidden in Him. No man can make any approach unto God, nor have any expectations of being received into His presence, outside of that one who is the Savior of sinners and the perfect righteousness of His elect. The Pharisees were very sincere, morally upright, and deeply religious men. They thought they could be justified by their own actions and went about their devotion trying to establish the grounds of their own righteousness. They have many followers in the present day among those who make a profession of having faith in Christ, but yet think to add to themselves something which will cause them to be made more acceptable to Him. This is exactly why the Pharisees stumbled at His words and hated His way. He gave them no grounds upon which they could glory, and revealed that those who were morally bankrupt would go into the kingdom before they did. Verily I say unto you that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. A man cannot even sorrow for his sin in a proper fashion, or in any wise be led into true repentance, apart from the work of the Holy Ghost to humble him in the dust to the hating of his own flesh. When Job was finally brought to see what he was in the light of the glory and holiness of God, he said, "I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." Job was a very morally upright man, knowledgeable of truth, and regularly made offerings for his own sin and that of his family. Yet when true repentance was given to him, he abandoned all hope of being made righteous before Him who is absolutely righteous by anything less than the application of perfect righteousness to him by the power of God. Such is the manifestation of the Spirit to those whom the Lord is pleased to call. He will give them a desire for a broken and contrite heart and will in His own time work repentance in them. He will cause them to see their own powerlessness and their abject need of His mercy, lest they perish. They will identify with the publican who could not even so much as lift up his eyes towards heaven, smiting upon his own breast and crying out for mercy. David gave evidence of such repentance when he said, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow."
If you would like a free transcript of this broadcast, email us at forthepoor@windstream.net.